Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks in to your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Want to stop giving away money in Airbnb and Vrbo fees and actually own your guest relationships?
You don't need to be a tech wizard to make it happen. We use StayFi, and it's been a total game changer for our direct booking strategy.
Every time a guest connects to the Wi-Fi, StayFi captures their name, email, and phone number automatically. No awkward asks, no spreadsheets, just verify data you can actually use.
And here's what's wild. We send just one email a month to our email list, and we always get 2 to 3 direct bookings from it. And that's barely scratching the surface. Imagine what a weekly newsletter could do.
Some StayFi users have boosted their direct bookings by over 35% and increased their occupancy by up to 20% just by using the tools inside of StayFi.
StayFi's new plug-and-play hardware makes setup ridiculously easy, and the branded splash page gives your guests a hotel-level experience.
So, if you want to start marketing like a pro and build a real guest list, not Airbnbs, this is how you do it.
Head to stayfi.com/TFV to get 50% off your first 3 months. That's stayfi.com/TFV.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do each and every week, and that is showcasing one of you, our incredible listeners, who is going over to strshare.com, sharing everything you can about your short-term rental so we can share you here on the podcast. Annette, who are we sharing this week? We're mixing it up a little bit.
I know, I'm so excited. I think this might be the first time that we've done this. We are taking you direct to cornerstonecottageacadia.com.
Direct book.
I'm taking you directly to their site. I want you to check out their direct booking site, and you're going to see it right away. Book direct. The other thing that you are going to see, all above the fold, super easy. They have a pop-up that says, join our mailing list. Be the first to know about calendar openings, exclusive offers, and area seasonal recommendations. And that anyone can put their email in there, and they are collecting those. Of course, they say we respect your privacy, so they're going to follow everything there. And also, right when you go to their site, they have a connection to their Instagram. So I can, again, trust but verify, see who they really are, see their social media presence. And then... get to it. I can go ahead when I click book direct. It is very similar look and feel that guests are used to. Looks very similar to, let's say, Airbnb. But I can go in, I can check the dates. I can select it, check the rates, and book. And so I just want everyone to share, because it's very important for today's episode. I want you to check it out. Again, cornerstonecottageacadia.com. They are crushing it with their simple yet effective direct booking site. And it is our goal for all of you at the end of this episode to feel empowered to start your own. So Sarah, how are we going to help them with that today?
Well, the reason we are sharing this very specific website is because they are users of FutureStay. And it is a product we are highlighting in today's episode. And we wanted to show you what it actually looks like and feels like, because FutureStay is built for, we're going to give you a new word and we'll dig into it a little bit in today's episode. It's built for rentalpreneurs. And it is the solution for hosts who have 1 to 3 properties and gives you the freedom you crave, but you feel like you've never been able to be a part of the direct booking movement because you don't have 50, 60, 70, 100, 200 units. We say 1 to 3, but you can have more than 1 to 3 on FutureStay as well. But in today's episode, we're going to interview Phil Kennard. He's the founder of FutureStay and a longtime advocate for independent short-term rental hosts. He built the platform after realizing how limited the options were for everyday hosts, aka rentalpreneurs, who needed tech that was simple, affordable, and designed with their needs in mind. So FutureStay supports thousands of rentalpreneurs and help them build direct booking sites, manage their properties, and earn more money without needing a big team or complex tools. And I already know what all of you are thinking. You're nervous about the quote-unquote risk of not having it be quote-unquote secure on Airbnb. Hang out for this episode, because you are going to be blown away by the solutions that FutureStay can offer you. And it's built just for you, the independent host, the rentalpreneur. Phil, we are so excited to have you on the show today. There is so much happening in the short-term rental world, and I think you might have the keys to unlock the next phase for so many of our listeners. So if you don't mind, real quick before we get into it, a little bit about who you are and why you do what you do right now.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm super excited also. This is definitely a timely conversation. I'm Phil Kennard. I'm the founder of FutureStay. And FutureStay helps rentalpreneurs, so people that are starting out on their journey to short-term rental success and want to use short-term rentals to change their life, but not necessarily build a 200 or 1,000 property enterprise. They just want to set themselves up for the life that they can control. So we help rentalpreneurs make more money with their short-term rentals, and we do that with our technology. Why do I do what I do? Really simple. I am a rentalpreneur. And so, about 10 years ago, I was renting out my apartment in Greenwich Village that I thought I could afford at the time. I went out on a limb and bought it, and it was way too much money for me. Could not afford it. And I turned to short-term rentals as a way to keep it up afloat and keep myself financially above float and above water. And what I realized really quickly was I needed something to help me take direct bookings, so I could avoid just paying pure commission on everything, and something to really help me stay organized and make more money. And there wasn't really software that was built for people like me, the rentalpreneur. There was lots of complex softwares and PMSs and all those sorts of things, which were a little more than I needed. I just needed something really focused on making more money. And as a software entrepreneur, I decided to build it myself. And so I built FutureStay, and over the past decade, we've helped over 100,000 short-term rental direct booking websites and help thousands of rentalpreneurs all over the world succeed.
All right, before we go any further, this word rentalpreneur, I think I understand what you're saying, but what does that mean to you?
So a rentalpreneur is obviously like a portmanteau of, you know, rental and entrepreneur. And for me, it's really simple. I've been an entrepreneur for, I want to say, my entire life, since I was probably about 11 or 12, as I think when at the first time I sold anything in my life, you know. And entrepreneurship is a great way of controlling your destiny, of taking independence and taking your life into your own hands. And I think there's an entire generation of people that are using short-term rentals to control their future. It's typically someone who's doing this either on their own or with family, not through a large business, right? They don't want to do this as a job. They want to do it to create flexibility and freedom in their life. And they use rentals, short-term rentals, as a tool to achieve those means. It's typically someone that is, you know, operating, you know, one, two, three, a handful of short-term rentals, and is looking at it as like a way to kind of create some leverage for themselves. And that's what we call the rentalpreneur at Future Stay. One important thing I want to say here, and maybe we'll talk about this one later on too, is a lot of times people that are getting started in the short-term rental industry, they listen to podcasts or they'll go into communities and they'll see people with 100 or 1,000 rentals and they'll say, oh, wow, those people are so big. Like, I'm insignificant because I don't have that many rentals. Well, just so everyone knows here, almost everyone in the short-term rental industry has less than 5 rentals. Over 90% of hosts have less than 5 rentals. So you're in good company if you're a rentalpreneur. You're not just someone that's just starting out and not important. In fact, you're the most important person in the short-term rental industry. And that's kind of why Future Stay exists, is to help rentalpreneurs succeed.
Ooh, I love that you just said that. We are the most important. I don't think independent hosts hear that enough, especially with the current ongoings. With Airbnb, I feel like the independent hosts, the hosts with 1, 2, or 3 are really feeling the crunch of like, wait, are we being discarded? Are we not important? How are we supposed to continue to be rentalpreneurs when it feels like there are some new rules, some new things being kind of forced upon us when we are the true property owner? And that's a hard pill to swallow. So it's really refreshing, Phil, to hear that we are the most important. And we have to keep that at the forefront as these challenges, as pivots, as changes come up, to remember that we still are in control. So it's refreshing to hear that from you, and just know that we are still in control of our freedom, of our destiny, of what we are trying to build in the first place, or why we got into this in the first place.
Yeah, well, we're you know, Future Stay exists to help rentalpreneurs stay in control. But the reality is, if you don't take control of your destiny with short-term rental, someone else will control it for you, right? Mm-hmm. Platforms like Airbnb, and we're an Airbnb partner. I've been a partner with Airbnb for almost a decade, right? And, you know, I've listed on Airbnb. I have great things to say about it. It's an essential part of most host strategy. But it can't be your entire strategy, right? Your strategy's got to be for you and for your own future and your own destiny. And you have to take the right steps to control that. And I think, you know, the last thing I'll say about this is one of the main reasons Future Stay exists is because in an industry that is, you know, 90%+ controlled by the supply, controlled by rentalpreneurs, the reality is most companies in the space are focused, most tech companies are focused on large managers. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not bad, right? It's because large managers, obviously, if you can sell a product to someone that has 1,000 properties, you're going to make a lot more profit than if you can sell it to someone that has 1 property, right? And there's been a kind of race to the top in terms of people trying to sell to the largest managers in the industry and building the best software and the best feature for the largest managers in the industry. And the reality is rentalpreneurs need a little bit of a different approach. They need a little bit of a different tool set. And so at Future Stay, we've been super focused on making sure that we build the right tool for rentalpreneurs who are busy, they're professionals, they're super intelligent, they're people that have really they've taken short-term rentals as a way to kind of open up the next stage of their life. But they don't have all the same resources that a professional manager does. And so that's kind of how we focus the product and the platform, really focused on helping rentalpreneurs succeed. We don't really serve large managers or those kind of enterprise managers. We're 100% focused on helping regular rentalpreneurs like myself and like you guys get to the next level with their short-term rentals.
And I can tell you all, when a software company has one focus and they don't try to serve everyone, you're going to get a better product for you, the user, because that company is all in on serving that particular kind of user. And that I look for that in software myself, Phil. Like, I want to make sure that software is going to give me exactly what I need in this situation. What do you say? Because there are still some listeners out there and some hosts out there who feel like Airbnb makes it so easy to just use Airbnb. You interact with a lot of rentalpreneurs. So when the light bulb goes off for them and they see the value of using Future Stay and they see the value of diversifying outside of just Airbnb, What is it that gets that light bulb going off for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is not specific to FutureStay, right? This is for every rentalpreneur. You can use FutureStay. You can make your own solution up. It doesn't really matter. There's a point in time that every Airbnb host realizes that Airbnb isn't the end of the journey. It's actually the beginning of the journey. And that's a great way to start, right? And so people will find themselves. And I know we've all had this moment. You're sitting there and you're looking at your occupancy or you're looking at your average daily rate and you're saying like, is this good? I don't know. Is it good? Like, just is it good? Not that it's bad. You don't know the answer. You know, what's next? How do I grow beyond this? How do I either make more money doing the things I'm already doing or, you know, or start doing additional things to make more money, right? Because you kind of have a bunch of sunk costs already there with your property and your operations. How do you improve your margins, improve your top line revenue, and take less risk while doing all that? Those are the questions that rentalpreneurs ask themselves, right? Yeah, sure, I can go add 5 more properties, but like, why do 5x the thing that I'm doing right now when I could take the thing I'm doing, make it more efficient first, and then go on from there? And I don't just mean operationally efficient, I mean like getting all the value you can out of it. And so that question of like, is this good? Is there something next? Is the question that when rentalpreneurs ask that, then we know we can help. And I'll tell you what's next. And again, this is not just FutureStay specific. What's next is making sure that your Airbnb listing is really performing, right? Oftentimes I'll have people say, oh, should I hear people, you know, have a conversation with rentalpreneurs. Oh, should I list on Vrbo? Should I list on booking.com? Should I list on this channel? Should I list on this channel? And the answer is maybe, depends on where you are in your journey, right? Like if you're doing one thing poorly, why add 7 more things that you're also doing poorly? Why don't you do the thing you're doing already best? Do that the right way first. So the first thing that we do at FutureStay when we onboard someone, and onboarding a FutureStay takes literally under 6 minutes, right? It's pretty crazy how quickly we can connect to your Airbnb account, spin up your account at FutureStay. One of the first things that we do for everyone, in addition to giving them a beautiful direct booking website and listing them on Google Vacation Rentals, we'll get back to that, is we get them set up for an Airbnb optimization. And the reason why is, think about like, you know, when you're back in university or even right now, you guys are sitting down and you're like, all right, I'm going to write this piece of content. I'm going to write this this research paper that I've put together. You have to have someone proofread it, right? You know, and these days, like maybe AI is helping, right, for that too. But the reality is like, no matter what you put out in the world, if you only look at it with your own pair of eyes, there's going to be mistakes in it and there's going to be red flags in it, right? And so one of the first things that we do is for every customer on FutureStay Amplify, we review their Airbnb listing top to bottom. We give it like the 48-point Jiffy Lube style checklist top to bottom, right? And we typically find 1 of 11 red flags on that listing. And those red flags significantly impede bookings. So, you know, when we're done and we get your listing all optimized, our average customer sees about 16% more bookings on Airbnb just from getting their listing set up correctly.
Okay, Phil. You got to give us 1 of the red flags. We got to give something juicy to the listeners.
I'll give
one
you a couple
of the 11.
Of them.
So, I like it.
So I'll give you. I'll give you my favorite 2 red flags. Right. One of these is something that is based on how, and Airbnb is easy to use. So it's nothing about Airbnb being complex, but there's so many questions. And they always change their UI around. It's very frequent for someone to have a mismatch between the beds and bathrooms that they create on their listing and the actual number of guests that are allowed to stay at the listing.
Yes.
So very frequently you'll see a 4-bedroom house with 2 bathrooms. And then when you actually look at how many guests are permitted, when you try to fill out that little ticker and you're trying to book it, it's only permitting like 3 or 4 guests. And then every other guest is either an upcharge or sometimes you can't add more than that. That's the kind of thing that's very easy to miss because it's buried in the details of your listing. It's not creative. It's a numerical field. And you would think, look, I listed 4 bedrooms. Come on, Airbnb. But no, there's a separate field for that. And so little things like that can end up with a very, very high bounce rate on your listing, meaning people find your listing in search. Maybe you were ranked highly. They end up on your page. And then they're like, oh, it's a 4-bedroom house. That's exactly what I was looking for. I'm going to bring 8 people. Oh, no, I can't. And so when people start bouncing off of your listing, that tells the algorithm you're not a good match for that type of guest. And what does it do? It decreases your appearances in search. And so all of a sudden, you didn't even know it, but you just hamstrung your Airbnb listing just by entering the wrong number in a field because you've given a feedback loop where every single time someone bounces, you get less and less likely to show up. Little things like that are very, very common. About 10% of people do that, have a mismatch in terms of beds, baths, and the number of, and the numerical fields. And little things like that, you don't even see them, but those slowly erode your ability to succeed on Airbnb.
Okay, what's next? You said you're going to give us a few. That's one. I'm getting greedy.
So, okay, I'll give you one of my favorites.
Ooh, okay.
And this is one of my favorites because it ties into direct bookings. Oh. So it's not an issue for, that's why there are 11 of them. 10 of them for Airbnb optimization. And the 11th is actually for direct bookings. And so everyone knows that you're not allowed to write your website or any contact information in your Airbnb listing. Obviously, it was against terms of use before the new off-platform policy that Airbnb released, the OPP, as I like to call it, for those of us of a certain age.
Yes, and, I'm down with OPP. I like it. Well, I don't like analogy.
And so it was against the policy of change, policy platform before, and now it's even more explicitly laid out as being against policy, right? But you are allowed to do other things. And so one thing that you can do and you should do on your Airbnb listing for every person that has a direct booking website is you should utilize, and this is part of a phenomena that we at Future Stay have observed and we've kind of helped teach people how to use it. It's called the billboard effect, which is part of our direct booking loop strategy at Future Stay. The billboard effect, we didn't make that up. That's a real observable phenomena that exists in the real world in hospitality, going back before short-term rentals were even big. Cornell Hospitality School in New York did a study on OTA and direct bookings for hotels. And they found that 72% of people that booked on a hotel's direct booking website had previously searched on an OTA and saw that hotel on an OTA. The OTA started saying to hotels, you should list on our OTA, not just because you're going to get bookings directly from us, but you can consider this listing a billboard for your hotel, right? Obviously, if you have links to the website and things like that, that makes that number higher. But even if you don't have those, guess what people do? They end up on your Airbnb or your OTA listing. They look for identifiable information, such as the name of your property, right? For example, they might look for, you know, Annette's Riverside Shanty. That's a terrible name for a property. But let's just pretend. It's your shanty, right? And so it's ironic. It's because it's fancy. That's why you called it that. So Annette's Riverside Shanty. And if you've written in your Airbnb description, we can't wait to host you at Annette's Riverside Shanty in lovely Gainesburg, Tennessee, right? People will just literally copy that entire string, pop it in Google, and then guess what's first for that? Well, you're the only website on the internet about Annette's Riverside Shanty in Gainesville, Tennessee. So you pop up first, not your Airbnb listing, not your Vrbo listing. And if you don't utilize the billboard effect in your OTA listings, which is, again, not against terms of service and also expected by the OTAs, if you don't do that, that's an 11th red flag, meaning you as a rentalpreneur aren't, number one, you're not showing the potential guest all the trust building signals that you should be, because they might want to Google you too, just to make sure you're legit. They may end up booking through Airbnb still, but they want to make sure that you are who you say you are. And you're also missing out on direct bookings.
Ooh, I like what you just said of cross-referencing, even to get booked on Airbnb, because, well, Sarah and I just got back from an event and heard it over and over again, and was the term trust recession. And we do believe we are in it, and it's on so many different levels because of AI, because of people checking in. You know, you can use it in any field. But for us, I get that. If I'm looking for an Airbnb, I go to their Instagram. I go to Google. I make sure that listing is who they say they are on the OTA, on Airbnb. And I love that you're even sharing that it could help you get booked via Airbnb or Vrbo because you have that direct booking presence, because here's what they might be doing. Because the guest is in a trust recession, they might say, hey, I'm going to book first on Airbnb. I really want to book direct with them, but my first day, let's do it this way. And then the next time, they'll go direct. And so I've never really heard that philosophy, Phil, of them, you know, I know going to social media, but yeah, going to the direct booking site just to confirm, but then still booking on Airbnb. That's a really great way to, you know, gain that trust from your potential guest. And they know that the pictures here are the same as the pictures there. Is really a big
yeah,
thing that's
I think what you're saying is a really important point, right? If you're doing this correctly, when we talk about the direct booking loop, it's called a loop because it's a process of using the tools that you already have, such as your OTA listings, the communications that go out, the time that the guest is in your property, and you have the ability to capture information from them directly to generate more direct bookings. It's kind of a feedback loop that grows and helping you get more and more direct bookings as your short-term rental operates without having to do a lot of additional work. But trust is at the center of all of those things. And I don't mean to say this, and look, this is, we don't need to get complex and we're talking about booking funnels and those sorts of things. We can have a masterclass on that at a different stage, right? What we're talking about here is just, this is a journey. It's like when you as a consumer buy from a brand, first, you just want to get your feet wet. Your first booking may or may not be direct. Sometimes it is, right? But you might want to try from a trusted retailer. But I can guarantee you, if I have an Airbnb listing, if I'm looking at an Airbnb listing and I've already looked at the direct website, visited on social media, seen the personality of the host, seen guests talking about how they had a great stay there, guess what that's going to do? It's going to prime my mind as a consumer to have a better experience and to be more likely to do things like sign up for your newsletter, or share my email address with you, or maybe even add some upsells to my stay, because you've already primed me to have a better experience because I know that I see other people experiencing great things with you. So that trust, that is something that you have an opportunity as a host to start building in advance. And here's the thing, guys, when we talk about rentalpreneurs, and I'm not gonna use the word versus because it's not a battle, it's not rentalpreneurs versus professional, quote unquote, or big or enterprise managers, because we would win, rentalpreneurs would win because we're at 90% of the industry anyway. But it's not a versus, right? When we look at the two different groups of managers, enterprise managers do all of these things. They're already working to build trust. They have entire marketing teams and departments. They have post-booking flows. They have multi-channel messaging. What we want to do at Future Stay, and what you guys want to do too with your community, is we want to level that playing field. And we want to make it easier for rentalpreneurs to do the things that matter to guests. Why? Because, yeah, we want to give good guest experiences, but ultimately, because that allows us to succeed. That allows rentalpreneurs to build their own direct independent business, no matter what channels they're on. Not saying get off the channel, stay on those channels. That's how you feed your direct booking loop, right? But having control and doing all the right things is what helps you succeed as a rentalpreneur.
I love that the first step for people who commit to Future Stay as their direct booking platform, that you go through their Airbnb listing and make sure that the checkpoint list of all the things that would make it be a good listing and have it convert a looker into a booker, they hear it to your feet, is the first thing you do, because we have to have something good to work with. I know that a lot of our listeners are nervous. They're like, okay, great. But then how do I start the direct booking process? Like, how do I get people to know about me? You're saying, it sounds like the billboard effect is a great first step. Mention the name of your property in your description, and that isn't against terms and conditions on Airbnb. Is that the first step? Is there anything else you recommend to get someone feeling like they could actually have a direct booking process before the end of the year?
Yeah, before the end of the year. I mean, look, you should be able to start today, and regardless of you can be using Future Stay or you can go do this on your own on a free website builder, right? You should be able to get your first direct booking in weeks, if not days, right? And so step one, this is going to sound painfully obvious, but step one is you need a direct booking website. And your direct booking website needs to be able to take bookings. That sounds like, you know, a platitude here, but the reality is like about 80% of rentalpreneurs don't have a direct booking website that can take bookings. And so if you don't you know, if you don't, if you're not on the field, you can't play in the game. So you got to start by getting your direct booking website. And I would recommend strongly having a direct booking website that syncs availability with your listings. And if you're just on Airbnb, that's a great place to start. Just make sure your availability is synced. One, when we talk about trust indicators or trust signals, as we like to call them at Future Stay, having one of the things that makes guests, people that have shopped on OTAs before, really skeptical is when they look at a direct booking website or even an Airbnb listing and they see 100% availability, right? When you look at a listing and you're like, oh, this has never been booked before, or the calendar's wrong. Like, which one is it? Either, both of those are bad, right? And so you, whatever you're doing, make sure your calendar is synced. And if you don't have any bookings, block some times off. That way it looks like people have started staying in your property and it looks like maybe they just didn't transfer the reviews over. I don't know, but this is a real property, right? So the first thing is get a direct booking website, make sure that it's set up the right way, make sure that it's synced with your availability and has the right same pricing or similar pricing to your OTAs. You'd be surprised. Sometimes I see people come on and they say, well, it's a direct booking, so I'm going to charge more because I have more, in their minds, more risk. So I need to charge more to mitigate the risk of the booking. Well, we can talk about that direct booking pricing in a second here, but that's the first step. Just get set up for success. And once you're set up for success, then yeah, there's a myriad of things that you can do next.
I know the top two, besides just how do I get a direct booking site? The next two questions that we get all the time are, how do I take payments? How do I take payments from these guests? Because Airbnb just does it for me. So would Future Stay help us set up payment processing?
Yeah, that's part of the what's required, right? So when we talk about getting a direct booking site, here's literally what I mean. You need a website that is your own where you can control all the content of it, number one. Number two, it's got a link of it. It's got to have all the same. When I say same, it doesn't need to mirror, but it has to have the same depth of content that you have on your Airbnb listing. If it has less content than your Airbnb listing, I wouldn't even bother calling it a direct booking website because no one is going to book it. Airbnb has selected that content for, you know, literally tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of testing and many billions of dollars of optimization have gone through making sure that's the content a guest needs to book. So if you have less content on your own direct booking website, it doesn't count, right? So you need your own website. You control as much content as your Airbnb. It's got to have linked availability, it's got to have accurate pricing, we can talk about pricing strategies in a minute, and it's got to have a way to take payments online. Now, can you set up a direct booking website that's inquiry only? Yes, and that may be okay with you. Your conversion rate, the percentage of people that are going to book, will typically be lower, but you could have an inquiry only direct booking website, but you do need to at least be able to take full transactions online. And the last part is this. If your direct booking website, or at least the way that you're taking these payments online, doesn't have protection for you, then it's going to make you reticent to take bookings. You know, a lot of people are on Airbnb. Airbnb gives you air cover. And, you know, I will say about air cover what Airbnb says about air cover. Air cover is not insurance. Air cover is a great supplement to your own insurance and protections for your short-term rental. Those are quotes. That's what Airbnb says about air cover. So you as a short-term rental owner or operator need your own insurance to protect your property in case of something catastrophic. But in case of regular wear and tear, I would suggest using a damage waiver, right? Very simple. You take a small nominal fee, you add it to the guest. The guest feels secure because they know they're not going to be hit with a $500 or $1,000 security deposit that they have to pay and hopefully get back, right? So you got to put that in there too in terms of protection for stays. If you have all those five things, that is a direct booking website that's ready to go. And that's actually what Future Stay gives you right out of the box. When I say that you can set Future Stay up in under 6 minutes, you get the website, you get all the content mapped from Airbnb, you have full control over it. There's no commissions on any bookings on Future Stay. That's also important too. If someone's taking a chunk out of your direct bookings, is it really a direct website? I don't know. You're still paying commission. So yeah, there's no commission on anything with Future Stay. It has your payment set up to go directly to your bank account, and there is protection for every booking in the form of a damage waiver and also automated guest verification.
You so, answered.
All there.
Oh. Yeah, you answered my second question, which was the host trusting guests. What about insurance? How do I know that, you know, who's staying in my property? You covered that. And then there's this ringer, this last question that I think holds everybody back is, it's kind of like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Because you're like, should I invest in a direct booking site when they don't even trust themselves that anybody's going to book it? And I think you mentioned it earlier, like you're not even playing ball if you don't have the site set up. Because I feel like that people don't want to make this next investment of the direct booking site because they're like, well, who's going to book it? And so it's like, well, no one can book it until you have it. Right. It's like they're not.
It feels
able
like
to.
A chicken and the egg. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not. So here's the way that I like to look at it. And again, you can run these numbers yourself. Right. And you can decide for yourself whether or not you should have a direct booking website. The reality is that most rentalpreneurs operate at fairly low margin businesses. That's OK, because they're building wealth. Their assets are appreciating and they're using the bookings to pay off some of their mortgage or all their mortgage, or maybe their mortgage plus a little bit extra. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great strategy for building wealth and building a portfolio for yourself and your family. But let's do the math for a second. If you're operating a business, let's just pretend you're at a 1% margin today with your short-term rentals. Pick a number, right? You're paying anywhere between 15 and 22% in OTA commissions on every booking. Now, you may say, I'm not paying that. The guest is paying that. Well, that's true, right? The guest is technically paying it. But if I'm selling something for $100 and you guys are willing to buy it for $125, then you do buy it for $125 and someone else takes the $25, I just lost $25 that I could have made, right? So in reality, I still have that gap between what I'm willing to sell something for and what the guest is willing to pay. And so that gap, if 15 to 22 or 25%, depending on whether or not you count the processing fee, that would have made my 1% margin business for that, at least for that one transaction, go to 20% or 25%. Why does that matter? That matters because when you're talking about that big of a gap in the margin between almost nothing and maybe a 25 or 30% margin, you don't have to have 100% direct bookings for this to be meaningful in terms of your profit and your bottom line for your business. That's super important. People get into this zero sum game thinking, well, if I don't have 100% direct bookings, how do I get to 50% direct? How do I get to 20? Guys, if you get 10% of your bookings direct, that's the difference between losing a few thousand dollars a year or a few hundred dollars a month on your short-term rental and making a few thousand dollars a year or a few hundred dollars a month on your short-term rental. That takes your business from being in the red to being in the black in many cases, just by getting 5, 10, 15% direct booking. So part of this is just figuring out what are the goals, right? What is the number that I would need to bring in terms of direct bookings in order to double my take-home at the end of the year, my profit at the end of the year from short-term rentals? And that's something that, you know, we can help people calculate. Maybe we can add this to the show notes, but we have a double up calculator and people can calculate this on their own. And for many people, it's under 20% direct bookings to double your take home. So the real question is, like, you know, how much is it worth to you to be able to set an attainable goal and achieve that goal, turning your business from potentially something that really is more of just an investment or potentially a loss into a positive? And if you find the right partner for short-term rental website, or you build your own for free, right, which you can do, it takes quite a bit of work, then yeah, it's 100% worth it. You don't have to set a lofty goal. Set an attainable goal and hit it, and then go from there.
I think that's where, and myself included for most things in life, is we want to go, you know, 0 to 60. We want to go from all on Airbnb to all direct booking. And, or like you said, 50%. And it's like, wait, it really is in the slow, steady, small, inch by inch, tortoise in the hare type percent. Like, we all have friends and family. Most of us have friends and family that stay with us. We have repeat guests that stay with us. So this is an exercise, listeners. Go through if you have your historicals, go through your reservations and see how many of them do you have their phone number. You probably have a phone number of a few of them. How many do you have their email address? You know, maybe you're not as intimate as the phone number, but you probably have their email address. And how many of them have stayed with you multiple times? And I think that's a way in your mind to just start to see you already have, let's talk sales terms here. You've got some really hot leads because they should be repeat. You know, you should have a lifetime value of that guest because they were coming back. So that's where it's like, let's not even start thinking about new traffic. Let's think about our past guests that have stayed with us. And I can guarantee if you've been hosting for a while, you have a repeat guest. Again, you have someone in the future. Maybe look at your future bookings. You have that friend, that family member, that repeat guest that's coming. And what did they do? They booked via Airbnb and they could have just booked on your direct booking site had you had one available to them. So I think that's actually the exercise that we need to do is instead of just thinking about all our new guests, it's like, who are our past guests? And or how could we go out into our community, our favorite coffee shop, our networking event, pass out some business cards, you know, kind of go old school on some things like that and think about how can I get 5% to 10% of those direct bookings? And I think it's like, I'm getting fired up about it because we all have that network somewhere. We just have to tap into it and make the effort.
Yeah, you're 100%. And there's a really interesting pattern here, which is that if you look at any kind of business, I don't care if it is you talked about a coffee shop. I don't care if it's a coffee shop, a software business, or you as a short-term rental operator. The way every business works is they spend money to promote their thing they're selling. And that's the highest value activity that they have. And it's also one of the most expensive things they do. They promote to an audience, they get a customer, and they make money off of that customer. Every other industry, every other thing you sell, other than your short-term rental, every other kind of business takes that customer, nurtures the customer, captures their data, tries to create a repeat customer out of them, and cycles the value of that customer because it's way more expensive to get a new customer than it is to keep your existing customers happy in every industry. Mm-hmm. In short-term rentals, our entire industry works the opposite of that, where you pay new money for every single customer, and then you, for rentalpreneurs at least, you ignore them and hope they will somehow find their way back to you, even though you don't have any tools to actually sell anything to them. And so the direct booking loop is really just a set of strategies and tools to stop doing that and work like every other business on the universe, like the local coffee shop. Just let the people come back.
You put it like that, and it just, it really, and I don't know, is it Airbnb's brilliance? I don't know what it is where the rentalpreneur has lost sight of the thing that has worked for every other industry, but for some reason we're like, but not us.
And we'll, Phil, we do it all the time where we're like, everyone is a small business owner. I mean, most of them have more invested, $250,000, $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million invested in their small business. But when you ask what the marketing budget is, that is non-existent. And if we were to have if we were to go to a small business meetup and everyone would be chatting about their marketing and what their marketing budget is. And our marketing budget is that percentage that we give to Airbnb. So I would encourage everyone, take the percentage, and that can be, you know, broken down into so many different places in your P&L. But the way that you just said it was brilliant. As any other business, we would be trying to nurture that customer, get them back, and understand that lifetime value. And we're in hospitality. That's where there's really a disconnect, is because hospitality is all about connecting. And we're also not reconnecting with the guest and letting them cycle through.
I know what every listener is thinking right now, though, Phil, and I'm hoping you can shed some light because you have a relationship with Airbnb. Right, but I'm not allowed to nurture an Airbnb guest. If the guest came to me from Airbnb, can I, and do I have to send them back to Airbnb to book with me again? What is your insight there?
Yeah, so Airbnb was very, very clear in their new OPP, off-platform policy, that rolled out on May 10th. I want to talk a little about the structure of this because as everyone listening or some of your listeners know, there was also an Airbnb summer update that hit, I think, at the beginning of last week. And, you know, just a few weeks before, the 2 weeks before that was the Airbnb off-platform policy that actually went live. That was announced a couple of weeks before. That was an intentional sequence of events. Airbnb released the new policy changes, previewed them, then wanted to get a little bit of consumer feedback and also guest and host feedback, let them go, it largely go unchanged into action. And then after they were in action, released the services marketplace. If you look at what the content of the services marketplace was, that release, it was largely focused on making sure that Airbnb could expand the outer ring of its ecosystem so it could take those people, that captive audience of literally hundreds of millions of us as guests, right? And provide more value inside of a closed ecosystem to those guests and do it in a really smart way. You know, we talked a little bit about Airbnb and why they have such a tight grip on the short-term rental industry and the rentalpreneur. It's because Airbnb is amazing at doing a number of things, but one thing specifically, they understand trust. They understand how difficult it is to go on the internet and trust that you're going to go sleep in a random stranger's, you know, bed, really. And, you know, and the random stranger trusts that you're going to come sleep in their bed and that everything is going to be fine the next day and everyone's going to have a great time, right? And so they pioneered the right ways of building that trust, which is why this new ecosystem expansion of bringing services into short-term rentals is kind of a stroke of genius. I will say that obviously there's a lot of frustration because what ultimately they're saying is now we're going to let more people into your house and those people are going to be providing services that you don't necessarily even authorize. I'm going to knock on some wood over here. And the reason why is I'm going to bet that, and this Airbnb said some things that allude to this, that at some point in time, the services marketplace is going to give hosts a little bit more control back. And I think what they're going to ultimately do is let hosts decide what services they are going to offer and also let hosts bring their own services to the table in a way that fits inside of the Airbnb ecosystem. So you get to fine tune what experience you want to give to your guests, right? Now to go, so that kind of paints the picture for their whole evolving strategy. To kind of go back to the specific question here of what exactly can you do to stay in touch with those guests? Where is the line drawn between you owning them and not owning them? Airbnb was really explicit in their new OPP. What they said is that you cannot ask for contact information, any external contact information using Airbnb's owned channels. So you can't ask for it in your messaging email workflow that goes out or your Airbnb chat workflow that goes out. And you can't do anything that tries to take current or future bookings off platform. They're very explicit in their language there. What they did not say was they didn't say that you can't create a relationship with a guest and that guest cannot book for you directly. They said you can't take a booking that was going to happen on platform and take it off platform. So something has to already exist to be moved. Mm. So you can't move a booking that does not exist yet.
Right.
Right. The old language was not this explicit. This was very lawyered over. And so what they literally mean is they're not saying you can't get a future booking from a guest. They're saying you can't use Airbnb's messaging to get contact information and or move the current booking you're discussing or any future bookings that are being discussed
right.
off mm-hmm. of the platform. Now, once the guest stays, or if you're using communications outside of Airbnb official channels, you can ask for contact information, such as, for example, they can come stay on your property and you can require the guest to give their email in order to provide a non-required, like you can't do this for entry to the property, but for a non-required service like Wi-Fi. So you can say, enter your email to get access to the Wi-Fi. I'm going to capture that information. You have to get the permission to market to them, but you can then email that guest in perpetuity as long as you're not moving an existing booking off of Airbnb. So the answer to that's the policy. The actual answer is once someone is in your property, as long as you're not using Airbnb official messaging, it's all fair game. They also added, I'm going to give you guys a loophole that they added, and this is a really, really big deal. In the prior version of this, they were very unclear as to when you could actually ask someone to leave the Airbnb channels and communicate via a different medium. In the new OPP, they specifically state that if a guest requests or indicates a preference for having a for future communications outside of the Airbnb official channels, you can then ask for their contact information and contact them in that way. So that literally means if I book your property, Sarah, and you say to me, Phil, would you rather chat on WhatsApp? And I say, sure. You can now literally say, okay, please share your WhatsApp with me. They actually write that line as one of the few enumerated out exceptions to their policy, as long as the guest expresses a preference to communicate outside of the channel. And that's actually required in EU law. And yeah. So that's where they've done that. And so they have to respect that. Yeah.
Letting the guest opt in to how they want to communicate.
But you're saying the loophole then is us teeing them up, basically saying, would you like to communicate this way?
Why not?
They
do
don't
prefer
have
to do
right.
X.
Yes. Right. I like it.
And that could be a part of your automated message after the guest books. If you would like to communicate via, we'll just use your example of WhatsApp, please feel free. I know WhatsApp is big. We learned, and I spent some time with Phil in the UK, and everyone in the UK is on WhatsApp. And we're like, we are behind everyone. Everyone traps on WhatsApp but us. Anyway, if that is the preferred channel of communication, it could be or email, or would you like us to text you and your group directly? You can ask these questions and prompt your guest to say yes and opt in and start that nurturing process directly with them that way.
Yep, you can start it early that way. But even if you don't do that, if you don't feel comfortable, although you can check for yourself, it's right enumerated out directly in the terms of use. And I've asked Airbnb about it directly to confirm also, and they've confirmed. Even if you don't feel comfortable, you can still, when the guest is on premises, capture their information as long as you're not doing it in a way that prevents them from getting access to your property. You can't say, give me your phone number or you can't check in.
Right.
That is against, obviously against, you know, their platform policy.
Right. So let's go. I do want to talk about Future Stay, Phil, because you are offering something to our listeners that they don't get offered often. Hard to say, which is a direct booking platform that's built for the rentalpreneur. And so you're saying that they could get is the direct booking site. Talk to us about how pretty it is, because we care as hosts. We care about how beautiful the property is and making sure that it's as great of an experience as they get on Airbnb. Talk to us about the Future Stay direct booking platform, that experience.
So we already talked about how easy it is to create one and how quickly you can create one and how it gives the full kind of checklist of everything you need for the guest to trust you and for you to be able to take bookings and you to trust the guests too, right? And protect you. In addition to that, it's just absolutely gorgeous, right? Obviously, you can't see it right this second. But when you look at it, you'll say to yourself, hey, you know what? This looks kind of like a fancified version of an Airbnb listing. And that's intentional.
Yeah.
Airbnb is the highest converting short-term rental booking site in the world. So like, you don't have to completely reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
It's an experience that literally hundreds of millions of travelers around the world are comfortable with. They present information in a great way. So we've taken that, we've added a little bit to it, and we've also given you the ability to make it your own. But right out of the box, and this is really important for everyone to know, this isn't go build your website like you were building it on Wix or WordPress. You're going to click a couple of buttons and you're going to have a website that's automatically set up for you, and it's going to be gorgeous right out of the box and work right out of the box. It's very, very easy to use. So it's beautiful, but more importantly than it looking good, you got to feel good about it, right? It's also super high converting, right? And there's another trick under the hood here. So you asked the question earlier, which is kind of like, even if I do all these things and I start this direct booking loop and I'm put the name of my property and the location in my OTA and I start capturing information and I start texting people to get, that's going to take a little bit of time, right? I'm not going to get to 10% direct bookings in the first year, am I? Well, we have a secret weapon at Future Stay, and the secret weapon is Google Vacation Rentals. And so if anyone does not know what Google Vacation Rentals is, you can see it yourself very easily. Just type into your search bar vacation rentals and just enter the name of your location and you'll see a list of vacation rentals. You'll see it'll look kind of like a Google search widget or like a Google hotel widget, but it's actually Google Vacation Rentals. It's an interstitial widget that sits inside of search, and it typically sits above things like paid ads. So you'll see it above Airbnb listings or above Vrbo listings. And Google is basically doing the thing that they always do, where they try to get a big list of, they try to index the world's content and display it in a way that browsers and searchers can consume it, right? they're doing that with vacation rentals, and they're trying to list all the vacation rentals in the world. So you're saying, Phil, well, if they're trying to list all the vacation rentals, what do I need Future Stay for to list there? Won't they already have me? So they do actually grab about, 30, 40% of listings from OTAs and put them in Google Vacation Rentals on their own. But the problem is, guess where those listings go? They go right back to your OTA listing. And so you don't get any savings or any benefit from having Google list you, list your Vrbo listing or your Booking.com listing on Google Vacation Rentals. You're still paying the full commission. But if you're working with a Google Vacation Rentals partner like Future Stay, we were actually their launch partner. They selected us as one of two companies to launch the product, the Google Vacation Rentals product and service with. You have your own website listed on Google Vacation Rentals as the official site of that property, right? And so no commission, zero commission, direct bookings. Someone goes on Google, they do a search, they see your website, they see your property listed, they click on that button, it goes directly to your Future Stay powered website, and they can complete that entire booking without you paying any commission to Google or to Future Stay or anything like that. All that goes directly in your pocket. And so Google Vacation Rentals is, everyone knows, they think Google is the number one place that travel searches start. Over 70% of travel searches start on Google. They may end up on Airbnb or your own website, but that's where they begin. So listing there is super, super important. That's a secret weapon that Future Stay has also to get you listed there. And usually it takes about like 2 to 3 business days. But once you go live there, you'll start seeing traffic to your website as well.
And I want to pair that with this little thing that you kind of said before we dove into something else, which is Future Stay also has built into it guest verification. Because that's, if it's not insurance, or what happens if I don't have air cover, which we went over that is not insurance, and it's definitely not your insurance, it's supplemental, is guest verification. Because hosts feel that for some reason, guests on Airbnb are this safe, easy to trust pool of leads. Talk to us how Future Stay has solved that problem with rentalpreneurs thinking that.
Yeah, so just so everyone knows, Future Stay is for rentalpreneurs, but it is a big business, and we've served thousands and thousands and thousands of rentalpreneurs over the past decade. We've processed hundreds of millions of dollars of bookings. And when you do that, you see patterns start to emerge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Easy example, you guys know this, and listeners, I hope you know, and if you don't, you're going to learn right now. If you see a same-day booking from down the street from your property, cancel that booking.
No good.
That's not a booking. That's a park.
Okay.
Right? Or a crime. It's probably both, right? And so all those sorts of rules that let you know that a booking is not going to be a real booking, or that there's risk, such as the name of the booker doesn't match the credit card, et cetera. Mm. Anything like that throws up an alert in our system. So any booking that is not 100% kind of clean as a whistle gets reviewed by an actual team of people that have been reviewing bookings at Future Stay for the better part of a decade. And when those bookings look like they're suspicious at all, we do an ID verification with that guest. And the guest has to verify their ID to move forward with the booking. And guess what? We're pretty good at this. And so about 90% of the time that we send out an ID verification request, the guest cancels on their own because
like,
that was actually
mind.
Not a real book. The reality here, guys, though, just so you know, is, over 99% of bookings are legit, right? These are not the people that are booking direct booking websites. Here's the crazy part. That's not where scammers go. When scammers want to book a property, they get a fake ID and go to Airbnb because they're not professionals. They don't know how to find direct booking websites. It's way easier for them to try to scam 100 hosts at the same time on booking.com or Airbnb or Vrbo. Mm-hmm. They don't go to your direct booking website to book you. That's the funny part of all this, is you're likely to see more scammers and more fraud, or encounter more scammers and more fraudulent bookings on an OTA than you are directly, because it takes a little bit more work, as we all have just been talking about, to find a direct booking website. So that's where scammers start.
I know we probably have some hosts out there, myself included. Like, do you consider yourself a PMS then? Like, because I know some of our hosts have a PMS and they're like, well, I want a website, and they haven't used the website that their PMS has. Could they use Future Stay? I know that because that's some stuff that I know listeners are probably thinking right now, or I don't really want a PMS. Is this a PMS?
Yeah, those are really good questions. So let's answer them in the opposite order, right?
Sure.
The first is, If you're using an existing PMS and you either don't like the website or the booking engine, most PMSs don't really provide websites. They provide booking engines that you can plug into a website. So you kind of don't like the solutions that they have for direct bookings. Or in some cases, some PMSs charge a commission on your bookings if you book directly, which is, as I said earlier, not really a direct booking. So if you're falling into either of those camps, or if your PMS doesn't connect to Google Vacation Rentals, so you're kind of worried you're not really going to get any bookings in the first place, you can 100% use FutureStay in addition to your PMS. FutureStay can still onboard you directly from Airbnb. And then FutureStay, you can sync your FutureStay with your PMS. The reservation data, some PMSs are able to pull out full reservation data from FutureStay. Some only pull the dates block. And so depending on which PMS you're using, you may be able to have literally all the data flow directly into your PMS from FutureStay. And you can use FutureStay just for the direct booking website, the Google Vacation Rentals listing, and the Airbnb optimization. Now, on to the second part of your question, which is, you know, is FutureStay a PMS? Well, I'll tell you this, I'll answer that in more detail, but a lot of times we'll see people sign up for FutureStay to augment their existing PMS. And if they have one or two properties, they'll say, wait a second, FutureStay has a lot of the same features that I'm already, that are in my PMS, which I maybe was not super happy with in the first place, or maybe I was, but now I'm paying kind of twice for these. Why don't I just use FutureStay instead of my PMS? And that happens all the time. It's very, very common for people to, especially if they only have one or two or three properties, to use FutureStay instead of a PMS. And the reason why is PMSs are, what does PMS mean? Property management system. They are solutions designed for property managers, professional enterprise scaled businesses, to wring every last ounce of operational efficiency from a large scaling business. That's what they're for, right? Yeah, they're also organizational tools. And yes, as a tertiary benefit, you can list on a bunch of channels sometimes, and so that can help you make more money. FutureStay is designed the opposite way around. Our first job is to help you make more money, right? And in doing so, when you come to FutureStay, if you don't have a PMS and you're getting set up to make more money, you have your direct booking website, you have your Airbnb optimization, one of the first things that you're going to need is to make sure all your calendars are synced up together. And lo and behold, and all your pricing can be controlled in one place. Lo and behold, you've already kind of solved half of what a PMS does just by getting set up, syncing your calendars, controlling your information from one place, et cetera. Now, let's talk about the nuances. One of the major differences between FutureStay and a conventional PMS is that if you're using a PMS and you connect it to Airbnb, Airbnb blocks your ability to control all of your availability settings from within your Airbnb account. And they do that because they're assuming, hey, you must be a big professional manager because you're using professional management software, right? And so you don't want to log into Airbnb anymore, right? Don't you want to use this other software for everything? FutureStay doesn't do that. You're allowed to use your Airbnb settings and also FutureStay at the same time. So if you're someone that's comfortable logging into Airbnb every day, and you're comfortable controlling your Airbnb account directly from within, you can connect to FutureStay, sync it with Airbnb, keep your availability synced, but manage your listing separately, your pricing separately, your content separately. Or, and we don't block your availability control, so you can still log in there every day and control that separately. But if you say, you know what, I want a little more power here, I want to control my Airbnb from FutureStay, you can flip the switch in FutureStay. It doesn't cost anything extra. And now you can sync it to Airbnb like a full PMS, where all of your availability and pricing and everything is all controlled by FutureStay. It's up to you based off of how comfortable or not you are with Airbnb. That flexibility is really important for most rentalpreneurs, especially those that just say, look, I'm not ready for a PMS. I just want to get my feet wet and get a direct booking website set up. Only FutureStay can do that for you, can keep you synced with Airbnb and not take control of your Airbnb account, at least unless you want it to later on down the road. So the answer is, are we a PMS? Well, not technically, no, but we are a system that helps you make more money, helps you control your calendars, helps you control your pricing, sends out messaging to guests for you, et cetera. And so we do a lot of the things that a PMS does. And the reality is, the secret is most rentalpreneurs don't really need or want a PMS. They want a system that can organize everything, help them manage and set their rates. And yes, we have built-in dynamic pricing as an example. You don't pay any extra for that. We help you manage and set your rates, help you optimize your channels, and then help you just succeed. And, you know, that's more important than a lot of the operational stuff for most rentalpreneurs.
I love it.
Yeah, I was not expecting those answers.
I wasn't either.
I'm here for it.
It sounds like ultimate flexibility, and however the rentalpreneur is showing up, it sounds like Future Stay can meet them where they're at. And if they're ready to pull a lever or flip on or off a switch, they can do that. And it's not going to really change their Future Stay subscription or anything of that nature.
You're 100% right. And I think one of the most important things to say here is, and I have to admit, you know, I'm a product guy. I've been building software for my whole life. And I think a lot about product and how to make a product that helps, that solves a big real world problem, which is why I love this industry and I love Future Stay. You know, I love changing rentalpreneurs' lives and setting them up for success. But what's really, really important to remember here is that we have a great service team at Future Stay too. And the service is really half of what makes rentalpreneurs' lives easier. I just talked about a lot on this call, right? On this podcast. There's still a million questions that people that are listening probably have. And when someone comes to Future Stay and they are either a user or a customer of Future Stay, or they're just interested in learning more, we have an entire sales and support team. And this isn't just before the sale. If you're not going to, you know, then you can't get any support. And then we send you to a knowledge base. We have support that is literally 5-star award winning. Go look at Future Stay reviews. You'll see it for yourself. I love the product, but half of our positive reviews are about how great the support team is. And we do that intentionally. It's because if you're a rentalpreneur, this probably isn't your full-time job. You probably get home after a long day of work and you take off your hat from either you're an architect or a consultant or a doctor or an engineer or whatever you were doing, right, all day long. And then you're like, your brain is fried and you're figuring out how to run your short-term rental. The last thing that we want you to do is have to like figure a new career path.
No,
out
go to
night.
A knowledge base. It's terrible.
Yeah, you said those words.
Oh yeah, God. So we have a knowledge base, of course, but like way easier to pick up the phone and call real people at Future Stay who will actually just walk you through and tell you what's right for your business in terms of how you should be set up. And so any questions that anyone has, no matter where they are along their journey, we can help with that.
Love it. This is so great. Okay, so we do, Phil, we do have an offer to everyone listening if they want to check out Future Stay. So can you explain what you're able to offer our listeners? They want to learn more, dive in, and use Future Stay for their direct booking.
Yes, definitely. So I think it's really important. We talked a lot about trust on this call, for people to trust something before they have to commit, right? They have to learn to see if it's right for them. We've built Future Stay around that entire principle that people should really kind of know what they're getting before, you know, being charged for anything. So at Future Stay, in partnership with Thanks for Visiting, we have an awesome offer here. Number one, you can go to futurestay.com/TFE, Thanks for Visiting, and sign up, and you get an additional 25% off of the annual subscription for Future Stay Amplify. That gets you the direct booking website, Google Vacations listing, the connection to Airbnb, as strong or as light as you want it. You can choose either way. It gets you our award-winning support, and it gets you revenue management automatically built in, so you can look at the pricing, you can apply it, you can set your own rules around pricing, all that functionality, all included at kind of one monthly cost, and of course the direct bookings and the payment processing, et cetera. I really strongly recommend trying it out. There's a 14-day free trial, so you get to try it before committing. You know, a lot of times people will go get signed up and they'll just absolutely fall in love with the product. They'll show it to some friends and family. They'll end up getting their own direct bookings just by showing it off to the people in their friends and family that say, oh, look, my friend just got a new direct booking website. And before they even have their trial up, one of their friends has ended up booking or something like that, right? So I recommend getting it out there, go trying it and seeing if it's right for you. And we have a really, really high customer satisfaction rate. So I think it might be. Even more importantly, once you get set up, go sign up for the Airbnb optimization so we can start getting your Airbnb, so you can stop missing out on that 16 to 20% more bookings that people often see.
I love it. And just add on to the trust factor, we spent a significant amount of time with Phil. First of all, we hung out with you last year, but then this year we actually got to do kind of like a short-term rental group mastermind, hang out, talk about all things short-term rentals. So we got to know Phil on a deeper level. one of our team members learned about Future Stay when we shared with them that we met Phil, and she got on board into Future Stay within weeks of learning about it. So we're excited to offer this to our listeners who want more control, but they also love Airbnb and love, they understand it. They know how to use it. And it's just like the whole knowledge base thing of during the day, they're doing one thing and they come out home afterwards. They want to run their short-term rental business, and you've made it easy for them to be able to do that however they're showing up to their short-term rental business. So anything else you want to share before we sign off?
Yeah. So one thing, and I please correct me if I'm wrong here. I think your team member that signed up already got her first direct booking also.
Yeah. No, she's all in. She loves it. It was
She's a rock star, so she knows what she's doing, right?
And, well, it's her first short-term rental too, Phil. So I think that says a lot. She wanted to get into the short-term rental world. And of course, hanging out with Annette and me, it can get very addicting. So she did it. And then she decided on, she doesn't want to waste any time with just having Airbnb. She wants to get a good habit going with accepting and getting comfortable with direct bookings. And so she's done that with Future Stay.
Yeah, that's a really important note. So a lot of people listening probably already are listed on Airbnb, and there's probably almost just as many that are not on Airbnb, and they're trying to figure out whether or not they want to dip their toe in, just like your colleague did. You can create a direct booking website yourself before listing on Airbnb. And here's a little secret. You can set that up. You can put it in inquiry only mode and just start showing it to people so you can make yourself comfortable, right? You can do that while you're on the Future Stay free trial, futurestay.com/TFV, right? So for that additional discount for a Future Stay Amplify annual. But here's the secret. When you're ready, you can push all the content from your Future Stay direct booking website to create an Airbnb account. Mm-hmm. So you can create your Airbnb account from Future Stay. You can do this in whatever order you want. So if you're sitting around and you're kind of like waiting for your sign of like, should I really try this? I'm not ready to just open this up to the internet and let strangers stay at my property. Like, this is your sign. You can start today, take control, keep your independence. And when you're ready, flip whatever switches you want. And if you don't even know what the switches are, let our team tell you all the different permutations and options and help you find out what's right for you.
Or if you're a parent at home this summer, get a direct booking site, have your kids, charge your kids to stay there, or your in-laws or your relatives. Just make a direct booking site for your home and start charging folks.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. All right, Phil, we'll put the futurestay.com/TFE in the show notes. And we want everyone to know about this option. We want them to be excited to, yes, have Airbnb be a tool in your tool belt, but take control over your short-term rental business, however that is. We're not telling you exactly how, and I like that Future Stay allows that flexibility.
Yeah. Thank you for this option for hosts, because it's something I think we're all hungry for sure.
With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of Thanks for Visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today.